Welcome to Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA. Over the next hour, you'll be introduced to business and local leaders impacting our community. Text your comments or questions directly to the studio at 540-371-5756. Now, the host of Town Talk, Ted Schubel.
Mike Harvey in this morning from the Rappahannock Regional Criminal Justice Academy. Lots to talk about. Mike, good morning. It's good to have you here.
Hey, good morning, Ted. It's so great to be here with you.
We have got a lot to talk about. You had a Bridge the Gap gala the other night to talk about the academy and a lot of exciting things coming up.
Yeah, absolutely. On Friday evening, we hosted our first annual Bridge the Gap gala at Stevenson Ridge, and we had about 100 people from the community show up, and it was a very well-attended event. And I think for our first ever fundraiser like that, it was very successful. We were able to bring in just under $21,000. So I'm very happy with the event that night.
Well, I think that the event did a great job of just explaining who you are and, you know, what you're doing and into the future, how the community can get involved.
Yeah, absolutely. I think, you know, the biggest thing and why we call it the Bridging the Gap, you know, one, it's to bring the community and law enforcement closer together where we need to be so that we can work to make sure our communities are safe and free from crime. And then the piece that I really don't like is having to bridge the gap financially for the Regional Police Academy.
Yeah.
And, you know, that has always been a struggle. It was a struggle when I came here 12 years ago. We are still fighting this every year with the General Assembly. We are fighting for more money. And I don't like having to go to a nonprofit foundation or stand up a nonprofit foundation so that I can actually raise money to train our officers the way that our communities expect and deserve.
Before we go further, we should probably talk just a little bit about what you do at the Rappahannock Regional Criminal Justice Academy. Kind of, I guess, in a nutshell, is that's where new officers are trained and current officers are recertified and brush up on what they do.
Yeah, so the Rappahannock Regional Criminal Justice Academy, we support 42 agencies through Central and Eastern Virginia, from the Bay all the way out to Culpeper, Fauquier, Orange County, all the way down to Goochland. And so we are basically the college, if you will, for our local law enforcement officers. So they come to us for their initial training in order to get certified by the state. And then we also do all of the continuing education hours that is required for them to keep up with their certifications. And then all of the advanced trainings as well.
I never thought of that, a college. I mean, that is exactly what it is. I mean, I have sat in on and walked the halls with you and heard as courses are taking place, and that for new officers, I've sat through some of that. The amount of material that they are given and have to learn to me is always astounding.
Oh yeah, so you know, for our law enforcement basic class, it's about 20 to 21 weeks. And over the course of those 20 weeks, they take a multitude of written tests with over 700 written questions that they have to correctly answer. And they have to answer them up to 100% in order to get certified by the state. And then on top of that, their practical exercises, they're going to have another 500 to 600 criteria that they have to pass. So in order to get out of the academy with the minimum standards by the state, there's about 1,500 individual criteria that these new officers are learning about in order to go back to their agencies.
And boy, and you go through the academy, then you go back to the agencies who then have their own particular way of doing things that might be a little bit different. It's a long, from the time a person steps into the academy to when they're actually out on the street and involved with their agency, there's a lot goes into that.
Oh, sure. Absolutely. I mean, when you look at a hiring process for a new officer, from the time they put their initial application in with an agency, that background investigation can take anywhere from 2 to 4 months. And then they hire them, they send them to me, and I've got them for another 3.5 months. Then when they come out from me, they go into field training or on-the-job training. And most of our agencies, that's another 2 to 3 months of on-the-job training. So when you put it all together, you're looking at close to a year from the point that you say, I need a new officer, until they're actually working.
Boy, that's why when you see sheriffs or others talking to the talking boards of supervisors or city council, why it's so devastating when you go through that training and then after a couple of years, an officer goes to another agency, many times for more money.
Right. Yeah. It's, you know, we see it all the time where officers will, you know, be at one agency for a couple of years and think the grass is greener on the other side of the fence and they'll jump over. And I mean, I've seen officers who, you know, do that. And then a couple of years later, they go back to the original agency because they realize, no, the grass is not actually greener. And in this area, it is tough because we are competing with our law enforcement agencies in Northern Virginia who are able to pay a much higher starting salary than most of our agencies in this region do.
I've been and watched a number of graduations that you've done, and you oftentimes give, you always, in speaking to the graduates, you always make a big emphasis to speak to the families. And talk about how the family really plays such a big role in reminding the graduates not to forget their families.
Absolutely. You know, I always tell the graduates on the first day that they're coming into a profession that we succeed and we fail by the person standing to our right and our left. This is a team profession. We cannot succeed as an individual here. And that extends beyond just your coworkers, beyond just the folks that are on your squad. We can't do it without the families either. And, you know, when the officers come in, you know, they've got a pretty good understanding. They're going to be working holidays. They're going to be working nights and weekends. And they're going to be working when they have children's birthdays, when they have their anniversaries, you know, when they have major milestones in their families. These officers are going to be at work. And so that's a big sacrifice on the families that they have to share their loved ones with their communities in order to keep us safe. And so I like to recognize the families and the sacrifice that they make in order for their officers to do what they need to do for us.
In all of this, you know what they live, because you were in law enforcement before you stepped into this role.
Yeah, so I mean, I've been doing law enforcement, civilian law enforcement for just over 27 years now, and did a short stint in the Army as military police before that. So if you put all of my policing time together, makes me feel old because I've got over 30 years. But yeah, so I spent the bulk of my career with the Spotsylvania Sheriff's Office and on patrol. I primarily worked midnight. So for 6 years, I worked from 8 p.m. to 7:30 in the morning.
Wow. Wow, you saw the county in a unique way when you work those hours.
Oh, most definitely, yes.
Take a quick break and come back and talk about some of the things coming up. With there are a number of things that you're involved with, and also a fundraising effort that is needed for the Rappahannock Regional Criminal Justice Academy. More on News Talk 1230. Mike Harvey here. We'll continue on News Talk 1230 WFVA.
This is Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA. Download the all-new News Talk 1230 WFVA app for Apple and Android. Text your comments or questions directly to the studio at 540-371-5756. And now, here's your host, Ted Schubel.
Mike Harvey, I'm the executive director with the Rappahannock Regional Criminal Justice Academy. One other thing I meant to mention before we took the break, Mike, is that one of the shows I'll never forget was during all the riots and all the police talk back during COVID times. And we did a show where you talked about the training that goes on at the academy and how all the things nationally that everyone in a lot of agencies were dealing with were not issues around here, because you didn't train officers in a lot of those things, and it was eye opening, and it was one of the great shows that I'll never forget, because you said to me, I'd be happy to come in and
sure.
talk about how we train our officers.
Yeah. No, I mean, I remember that show, and, you know, obviously one of the big things that many people were upset with back then was officers doing chokeholds to get people mm-hmm. into custody. And that's something that not only has Rappahannock never taught to put people in chokeholds to make an arrest, no one in the state was teaching that, you know, and so all of the noise about we need to ban chokeholds in Virginia, okay, let's ban chokeholds, but we're not teaching them anyway. Yeah. So it was really an irrelevant exercise.
Yeah. No, I did, to me, just showed that what you know, you at the helm there of the Criminal Justice Academy had an eye on what was going on and what shouldn't be done. We should also mention, you're not only executive director, I mean, you teach classes. It's not like you sit behind a desk all day.
Right. No, I do. In fact, that's what drew me to the academy 12 years ago is I love to teach. I love to impart my knowledge and hopefully, you know, make the next generation of law enforcement just a little bit better than I was when I started.
Well, and it comes forward when I see you at graduations that you have a high regard for the recruits and want them to succeed, and it's just like seeing your own kids graduate.
Oh, it really is, and you get to see that change from the time they walk in, and you know that first day, and their eyes are wide and they're scared to death and they don't know what to expect. To seeing them walk across the stage being proud of, you know, becoming police officers and deputies in the area. And, you know, and then seeing them, now that I've been around for a while, seeing them, you know, 5-10 years later, they're showing up at the academy as supervisors. You know, that's really something to see.
I was wondering, I was just going to say to you, as you see them advance in their career, it's got to be something when you see them in that kind of a role now.
Yeah, it really is. You know, it really fills me with a lot of pride when, you know, I see someone, you know, especially they came through in 13 or 14 and now they are a lieutenant or a captain with their agency. That's something really special.
So overall, let's talk about the whole system, the whole regional jail system and really why, you know, bridging the gap has become a term that you've had to use and why you're having to raise money for projects, just because what you do and what the state provides is not nearly enough.
Right. So the regional system in Virginia came online in the late 60s when Congress authorized a big pool of money for states to standardize law enforcement training. Prior to that, it really depended on the agency. So our bigger agencies were providing robust training programs, and our smaller agencies, you might be lucky to ride around with somebody for a couple of weeks before you went out on your own. So Congress said, here's this big pot of money. States, if you standardize your law enforcement training however best fits your state, we'll give you this money to fund it. And so Virginia did. They stood up the Department of Criminal Justice Services as our regulatory body. And we came up with our standards. And in 66, they established the Regional Academy Training System. And what that purpose was to support the small and the mid-sized agencies across the state. You know, the Fairfaxes of the state, the Richmonds, the Virginia Beaches, they don't need a regional system because they have the resources, they have the wherewithal to be able to run their own academies. But it's the smaller places, it's the Fredericksburgs, it's the Warrentons, it's the Caroline counties who can't do training on their own. And so they come to a regional academy like mine in order to get that training. Today there are 11 regional academies across the state, and we support over 18,000 officers in Virginia. In fact, we train the majority of law enforcement in Virginia.
And that's why when you see cars around town from other agencies, they're here most likely because they've got officers that are being trained.
Right. Yeah. Like I said, we have 42 officers from or 42 agencies from this region that come to our academy, and then we offer a very robust in-service training program or ongoing continuing education program, and so we get outside agencies coming to our programs as well because we're offering things that other academies are not.
So Congress offered the funds and set it up in all is well until...
So Congress offered the funds and we set all this up. Our academy, Rappahannock Regional, came online in 78. And then in 1980, the Virginia General Assembly realized, oh, this grant's going away in 82. We probably need to do a study to figure out how to fund this thing. And so they did a study, and the basic premise coming out of it is the state needs to be able to support all of the administrative and operational costs to run the regional system. And they did support some money, but not a lot. And then when you fast forward past that in 2008, the General Assembly did another study, and again in 12, they did another study. And all of these studies have shown that the regional system is not fiscally solvent. We need more help.
Yeah.
And, you know, when you look at the historical funding from the state, in fiscal year 2000, so 25 years ago, we were funded total for all academies at $2.6 million. Today, this last fiscal year, we were funded at 2.4. Now, if you do the math on that, for over 18,000 officers across the state, that means that the General Assembly and Richmond believes that the training value per officer in Virginia is $125 per officer.
Which is just embarrassing.
It's pathetic.
It goes in line. I mean, you take that component, and also I know just what this area is supposed to have as far as state police officers were way and just in funding to local agencies, mm-hmm. sheriff's department, police departments is way down. Boy, so. I guess this is all now falling on the localities.
Right. It's all falling on the localities now. You know, we went from being funded at over 90% by the state, and then in the late 80s and early 90s, it was almost completely non-existent. And then we were able to get a little bit of money back going into the late 90s, early 2000s, and that's where we've stayed for the past 25 years. You know, when you adjust the numbers for inflation, if we would have stayed level, we have lost over 54% of our state funding over the past 25 years. Mm.
And that's why you finally had to stand up and say for Rappahannock Regional Criminal Justice Academy to be able to provide things and to upgrade your facilities, something's got to be done.
Right. No, absolutely. You know, I came in and... 13, you know, right as we are recovering from the 2008 recession. And, you know, the regional academy, we have to have a reserve fund, you know, in case a roof collapses or
sure.
something catastrophic happens to our buildings and we need to replace them. And when I came in, we had less than $100,000 in our reserve. And I knew something needed to change. And so... You know, we started building up the reserves, but at the same time, I went to a couple of my staff members, I approached a couple of community members, and we stood up a nonprofit foundation to help bridge that gap, if you were, you know. And in the early years, we held a lot of community days, whether they were community yard sales on the track or doing business after hours, those types of things, where you're just bringing the community in. We'd have some silent auctions, and people could learn a little bit about the academy, you know, go through some of our simulators, get a tour of the academy. And along the way, we raised a little bit of money. But it really wasn't until December of 2023 that I really pushed our nonprofit foundation to start doing some major fundraising. And that was because we had our first capital project since 2006 that we were getting ready to build, which is our new indoor firearms training center.
And we're going to get into that after we take a break and talk about all of that. But how does the General Assembly rationalize what they have done to law enforcement training?
I think trying to get the ear of our General Assembly members and for them to make it a priority, I think, is the issue. There's not a whole lot of energy down there to make the regional academy system a priority, because they're funding other programs. They are increasing the money that they do give to localities for either their sheriff's offices or their police departments, and then they're funding programs, such as violent crime interdictions, human trafficking programs, those types of things, which are necessary
and needed. All
important, sure. But what they tend to forget is, in order to have good folks in those things, in those violent crime reduction units, we need to have good training.
Right. And it's when you don't have good training that we have seen nationally what happens.
Yeah, absolutely. These YouTube videos that we see of officers being aggressive, mm-hmm. of being rough, of using too much force. Now, I don't know these officers, but I would hazard a guess that they did not come on the job with the intent to go out and be bullies and hurt people. It's been my experience that just about everyone who walks into the academy is here because they want to make a difference in their communities. They really want to be there to protect their neighbors, to make everyone feel safe. But along the way, if we don't have the training, if we don't have the ability to reach out to our officers, especially for wellness training, which is one of the big things that I do, mental health, the negative psychological issues that come along with this job if we don't take care of ourselves. And I think that's where we have failed as a profession, is that, just like many places, if somebody has a negative psychological issue, we don't talk about it. We stigmatize it and, we hope it goes away. Well, unfortunately, in law enforcement, if somebody is suffering like that, they tend to get angry, and then that anger comes out very inappropriately on the communities that they try to serve. And so that's another place where we really need more training to be able to support these officers so that they don't, develop those really bad negative psychological issues and then go out and use too much force.
And then that turns into oftentimes a video, and
right.
Nobody wants to have any law enforcement agency here connected to that.
No.
And that's what, when you talk about that kind of training that they're getting, hopefully that prevents that.
Right.
Yeah. So rrcja.org, the website for Rappahannock Regional Criminal Justice Academy, if you want to find out more about what's going on. You're over in the Lee Hill Industrial Park, right off Tidewater Trail.
Correct. Right beside the food bank.
Yeah. Right. Yes. And the track there, everything is there, and we'll continue to talk about what's there and just how a lot of what is there has been there since it was built,
right?
And that's the issue with some of this too. Mike Harvey here, the executive director of the Rappahannock Regional Criminal Justice Academy. We'll talk about the Firearms Training Center and how you can get involved too with the fundraising effort here. When we come back on News Talk 1230 WFVA, it is 8:31.
From the Fredericksburg.today online news studios, this is News Talk 1230 WFVA Fredericksburg, a Centennial Broadcasting Station focused on Fredericksburg. Welcome back to Town Talk on News Talk 1230. You can weigh in about today's topic on Facebook at WFVA 1230 and by text at 540-371-5756. Here's your host, Ted Schubel.
Mike Harvey in this morning, the executive director with the Rappahannock Regional Criminal Justice Academy. RRCJA.org is the website. And if you go to it, there is a far right, right on, at the top, it says Bridging the Gap. If you yes. click that, you'll get an idea of a lot of the things that we're talking about. And I'm sure that as time goes on, that will get updated, too, on ways that the people can get involved. So we've talked about there is the gap. And one of the things, and this came up a couple of years ago, you clued me in on the need for a shooting facility for officers to train, and it became really when you talk about needs, this is a real need that you have.
Yeah, it's an absolute need, and you know, in 2023 we were really caught off guard because for probably almost two decades, we had been partnering with Department of Corrections with one of their facilities in Stafford that had an outdoor range mm-hmm. on the backside of their property. And for various reasons, the superintendent of that facility decided that we couldn't use the range anymore. It was going to be completely shut down. And so I got a letter from that superintendent stating, effective immediately, our range is no longer open. Well, I had a basic class that was getting ready to shoot in 3 weeks.
Wow.
So we really had to scramble. And, you know, a couple of our agencies, Spotsylvania, Stafford, and the Northern Neck Regional Jail, they all stood up and said, you can use our ranges, which is great and wonderful. But it's just a stopgap. It is nowhere close to being what we need. And so during that time, we started looking, how can we do something permanent for the academy? You know, the academy has never owned our own firearms range. And in this area, I knew just building an outdoor range was going to be very difficult because we want to be good neighbors and, yep. you know, we don't want to be shooting while, you know, people are trying to sleep or trying to enjoy their weekend. And so I was able to find some property right next door to the academy where WAC Construction was rehabbing a big warehouse. And we realized, initially, I went to Tom Wack and we looked at the inside of the warehouse. We realized that wasn't going to work for our needs. And so Tom says, well, how about I build the suit and we cut off a couple of acres over here for you? And so that's exactly what we did. WAC Construction, they pulled up some plans, they drew up some price lists, and in December of 23, I was able to approach the Academy Board. And they approved this new capital project. So once the Firearms Training Center is done, which will be this summer sometime, the Academy will have expanded to a 23-acre campus with three buildings, and a driving track, and our firearms range. We will have everything in-house.
Boy, and it's all right there. You just yes. have to walk down a little bit. You and I did the other day. It's just about ready to have the roof put on, and it is going to be quite the facility for you. As you explained to me, there's just so many different you can simulate nighttime. You can do a lot of different things, and like you say, you're not constrained by the time of day.
Right, exactly. You know, one of the bigger areas that we really struggle with in training our officers is in low light shooting, you know, nighttime, yeah. dusk, dawn, where, you know, unfortunately, the majority of shootings that an officer is going to get in is going to be in low light conditions. It's going to be at night. And so we really do our officers a disservice because most of our outdoor ranges, because they want to be good neighbors, they have, you know, a cutoff time, 9 or 10 o'clock, mm-hmm. and then you can't shoot past that. Well, in the winter, that's great because it gets dark at 5 or 6 and we have 4 or 5 hours that we can shoot. But now that it's springtime and coming into summer, we don't get dark until 9, 9:30, gives us 30 minutes to shoot in low light, and then we're done.
Yeah.
With this new facility, obviously being inside, you know, we're going to have our lights on dimmer switches, so we can make it full light, we can make it completely dark. We'll have backlit with light bars, you know, so they can have the blue lights and experience shooting with that. So it's really gonna enhance the training that these officers need with their firearms. And, you know, a lot of people, you know, they think about firearms and they think about cops. And, of course, they think about all of the shootings that make the headlines. Well, the more that we train our officers, the more confident that they are with their weapons, the less likely it is that they're actually going to use them until it is way past necessary.
Yeah.
Because if they know that they're confident with that weapon, they're going to be able to use it when and use it effectively in order to protect themselves or someone else.
Yeah, to have a facility like this where you can, like you say, just the different situations, and also for the trainers or whoever's observing is able to see things in a different light, and may be able to make observations. There's nothing but good with this facility.
Absolutely. You know, we're going to be able to watch all of our training in real time. You know, we'll have our camera system in there as well.
Yeah.
So if we do have a problem shooter, we can rewind the tape and actually show the shooter, hey, this is where you're having a problem. This is why you did what you did on this drill. And I think that will be very helpful, for our next generation of law enforcement.
This is the kind, as I walked around that facility, I thought this is the kind of facilities that, you know, big areas, big metro areas have. And for us to have this and to be able to offer this kind of training, like you say, to just even some of these agencies that have just a few officers or maybe even one officer.
Right.
Is going to be huge.
Right. No, I mean, you know, obviously we're going to be able to use it for all of our recruit training, and it's going to be a huge benefit to them. But also for all of our ongoing training, it's going to be open to all of our agencies. You know, our bigger agencies, yes, they have their own ranges. They're all outside. But our smaller agencies, they always have to find a place to go and practice their shooting, to do their annual state qualifications. Now they have a place. And I think another one of the big benefits is we're going to be able to lease out our facility to other agencies outside of our members. In fact, I've already been contacted by one of the state agencies asking if he could come up for a tour. And unfortunately, when he called, all we had was the foundation down. And I said, sure, you can come for a tour. And I sent him a picture. I was like, but this is all it is
right now.
So, you know, I see a lot of partnerships with, you know, our state agencies, some of the federal agencies that are in this area, that it is going to help offset the cost of this new building.
Yeah. Boy, and the other thing is that some of these agencies not having a range and having to send them to other places, for some areas, it's a long trip.
Right.
To Spotsylvania to get to the academy. But in this case, that they're already coming to the academy, and it's right there. You're not asking them to come to the academy and then go another hour and a half away to shoot.
Right. No, I mean, right now for our jail officers, they're using the Northern Neck Regional Jail in Warsaw. And, I mean, it's a very nice outdoor facility behind the jail. But, you know, I have jail officers from Fauquier and Culpeper, some of them driving just an hour and a half to get to the academy here in Fredericksburg,
yep.
And now they've got to drive another hour past us to get down to Warsaw, which means now those agencies are paying for hotels, they're paying for food, and, you know, it's just a lot of additional cost put on the agencies. So this is going to bring everybody back to the academy so that we don't have those long commutes, and everything is centralized right here.
So are you still looking, are you still fundraising for the firearms training center?
We are, absolutely. We're asking the public to come forward and be a founding sponsor of the range. And, you know, we've got a lot of different opportunities, from buying a brick and putting a message on the sidewalk, all the way up to naming a lane. You know, you can name it after your business. You can name it in honor or in memory of someone. You can, you know, have the naming rights to our classroom. And, you know, everything in between. You can get on our founder's wall for giving and to be recognized. And we have, you know, different levels where businesses who want to interact with the community we serve. So, you know, we have a lot of young recruits. They are starting off families. They're looking for their first homes. You know, so bringing in real estate agents who can talk to them about the market, talk to them about housing, about mortgages, would be a great opportunity for them to partner with us and be able to get in front of some of these young people looking to start off their lives in our communities.
Well, in doing those kinds of things and getting them into the community and getting them into, like you say, into housing, in some ways even is helps ensure that some of them are going to want to stay around here.
Right.
And will feel a connection to the community.
Yeah, absolutely. I've always been a big advocate of officers living where they work. Yeah. And, you know, I think years ago you saw that when my kids were at Riverbend High School and I was a officer or a deputy with Spotsylvania, you know, and I was also there for the football games and I was working the chain gang.
I just was telling someone that the other day. I'm saying that's, I walked up and saw that. But that gets you into the community.
Right. And then the community gets to see us as in a different light,
yeah,
other than just Officer Harvey or Captain Harvey or whatever I was. They get, yep, to see Mike Harvey, the dad, you, yeah, know. And
I'll never forget that. It was a great illustration.
Yeah. And it really personalizes and humanizes that person behind the badge and the gun, you know, so the community gets to see, oh, that's just Bobby's dad. You know, yeah, that's JT's dad, and he's out here,
yeah,
running the chains.
Well, and to have a firearms training center like this too would give anyone who's either doing it just for recertification or as a cadet, whatever, you're going to have confidence. You're going to have a lot more confidence because of the training you got.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, we're going to be able to do so much more training at this facility. You know, right now at most of our ranges, we can get 10 people at a time on the line, which means if we have a full class of 30, 35 folks, then we have to have three relays in order to get everyone through. This new range is going to have 15 lanes, so we're going to be able to vastly cut down on our downtime and give our officers more time to practice their skills, more time to become more comfortable and more confident with their weapons, which is going to then help them go out into their communities and be more confident officers that our communities expect and deserve.
RRCJA.org, again, and go to the over to the right-hand side. You'll see Bridging the Gap. You'll see all kinds of things there about the Firearms Training Center and how you can get involved. And again, this will be ready to go sometime this summer, and that will be a big celebration, I know, for you and for the community.
Yes, absolutely. As soon as we get a better idea when we're going to get the keys turned over, I will be setting up our ribbon cutting, and that's going to be open to the community, and I encourage everyone to come out, take a look, and see what police training is all about in our region.
Yeah. Yep, can't wait. Mike Harvey here, Executive Director, Rappahannock Regional Criminal Justice Academy, rrcja.org. When we come back, we'll talk about $6.9 million over 5 years and how that factors into all this and how the community and businesses and everyone can get involved. On News Talk 1230 WFVA.
This is Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA. Hear the show anytime by subscribing to the Town Talk podcast on your favorite podcast platform. And now, here's your host, Ted Schubel.
Mike Harvey from the Rappahannock Regional Criminal Justice Academy. Good stuff. Informational this morning on all of this. RRCJA.org, the website. Look for Bridging the Gap. So overall, $6.9 million over 5 years is the amount you're raising, really, to just upgrade what you've got. You've got a great facility, but after so many years, things anywhere start to show some age.
Sure. No, absolutely. You know, when we started this major fundraising campaign, you know, my original thought was let's raise money to offset the debt service for our new firearms training center. And, you know, of course, I am not a fundraiser. I am just a career cop who likes to teach. And so I brought in a consultant and, you know, she sat down and said, well, that's great, but what else do you need? I said, that's what I need. She goes, no, no. What else do you need? If we were able to produce the type of officers that you really want to produce for your communities, what would that look like? Yeah. And what would you need to support that? And, you know, as we put everything together and developed a 5-year strategic plan, we realized that if we were able to do everything we wanted to do, we're about $6.9 million short over that 5-year period, which is just a huge number to me.
It is, yeah.
But being able to do that, we'd be able to update our facilities. You know, our oldest building, it was built in 1990, so it's 30 years old. That's where we have our practical training area called the mezzanine. And, you know, that's where officers are learning how to take calls. We use simunition rounds, which are paint marking rounds, so they get to experience what that is like. So you can imagine after 30 years of use and not really any updating, it's quite worn and quite out of date.
A little bit.
You know, our track is coming up on 20 years of service, and we put a lot of tires on that track, which means we need to make sure the asphalt is taken care of so that we can continue to train them effectively and safely. And repaving a track like that is not a cheap endeavor. And so, you know, we're looking at all of these things, how to improve our facilities so that we can, in turn, offer a much more robust training program to the officers that come to us.
Yeah, no, I've gotten to see the inside of through you in the 12 years that you've been there, and you've opened it up to me, and I've seen a whole lot of things. But like you say, that it's still, in my case, it still looks the same way it did. And like we say, everything starts to show some wear and tear. And there's new technology for some of these things. I know that you've got a simulator that you got a federal grant from when Congresswoman Spanberger got for you. So you've gotten some things like that, but they're just in the facility itself.
Right.
It will change. And just like the Firearms Training Center will help train our future and current officers.
Right. Now, the better our facilities are, the better we're going to be to train that next generation of law enforcement. And, you know, like we've talked about all morning, the more confident those officers are when they leave my academy, the better they're going to be in representing their communities and being the officers and deputies that our communities deserve.
And you've always said, if somebody wants to sit down and talk to you, get in touch with you. And you've sit down in your office and talk about all of this.
My doors are always open. My phone is always on. My email is there. You can contact me through the website, through our Facebook page, which is just Rappahannock Regional Criminal Justice Academy on Facebook. Mm-hmm. And I am happy to give you tours. I am happy to just sit down and talk to you about what we do. If you actually want to come in and sit in on a class, we can make that happen as well.
Fascinating to see. You don't realize the type of training that we get here. We always talk about you're not a fundraiser, but you're passionate about police work, and it comes through in this, Mike.
Yes. Yeah, no, I am very passionate about my profession and leaving it just a little bit better than when I came into it. And unfortunately, that means that I have to ask people for money right now.
Well, you can't say it, but I mean, it's an injustice what's happening right now at the state level. And this is a way that the community can get involved. So thank you for what you're doing.
Thank you, Ted. I really appreciate it.
RRCJA.org, the website for Rappahannock Regional Criminal Justice Academy. And you can get involved there. Go there and you'll see Bridging the Gap. And you may know of a businessman. You may know of someone who can get involved financially. Mike, we'll talk much more. Thank you.
Thank you, Ted.
Mike Harvey, Executive Director, Rappahannock Regional Criminal Justice Academy. Thank you for listening this morning. We'll see you in the morning.
Thanks for listening to Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA. The views expressed by the host and guests on this program are their own and not necessarily those of this station, its management, or Centennial Broadcasting. Hear the show anytime by subscribing to the Town Talk podcast on your favorite podcast platform. The Glenn Beck program is next on News Talk 1230 WFVA, focused on Fredericksburg.